wanted to have the Jersey boys on to talk about this year's virtual Dragon Con.
Heck yeah, man.
Ming, where are you from?
New Jersey. I'm in Shrewsbury, Eatontown, Red Bank, Asbury Park, that area right now.
True story. My dad, I grew up in Woodbridge, and my dad had worked part-time for the Acme since the Depression.
Wow.
And his last Acme that he worked at just before he retired, his plan was to retire from his day job and then work Acme in retirement, was the Shrewsbury Acme on Highway 35.
Yeah, I live right by there. That's cool. Not there anymore, but so he made the right decision.
That's things change, man.
Well, this
close up. Is that the grocery store? I'm sorry.
Yeah, Acme's a grocery store.
Yeah, not the Wile E. Coyote where he orders all his products.
Sorry. Yeah, not that one.
I never saw any anvils over there, so I don't know what they, it's false advertising.
They did sell rockets, though.
I haven't been to an Acme probably in over 20 years. We had one in our town, but they're all gone, right? They're absolutely.
They all disappeared. And then about, I want to say 97, 98, a bunch of new ones reopened.
Hmm.
And they were identical to Albertsons from the Midwest.
Okay.
It was nothing like the old Acme experience.
I don't even remember. You know, I shoplifted a pack of Bubble Yum from Acme. 1980, and my mother made me take it back and apologize and pay for it.
Oh man, I was such a dork. I got caught shoplifting a Doonesbury collection, and I was about 12.
Wow,
I was a nerdy ass kid.
Yeah, no doubt, Doonesbury.
Yeah,
shoplifting Velvet and Hustlers.
you couldn't have grabbed a Bloom County or something, or a Calvin and Hobbes.
Bloom County or Calvin and Hobbes.
I like it though. I like it a lot.
I just found all my old Bloom County books. They're all dog-eared and dirty.
Good stuff, man.
They were in a cooler at my dad's house. He's like, "Oh, you want these books?" The old Drew Friedman. You guys ever seen Drew Friedman, the pointillist guy who did all that cool old Hollywood stuff in the 90s?
I probably have the name. I can't catch the name.
He's obsessed with the Marx Brothers and the Three Stooges. So he grew up around WPIX as a kid. So inundated with all that stuff. Like if you grew up near there and you had Channel 11, you knew all that stuff. At least most of us, I think. Did you get that, Ming? Did you grow up around Channel 11, WPIX out of New York?
I didn't grow up here, but I hear fond stories about WPIX.
Wait, you actually moved to Shrewsbury?
The other guys. Yeah, I did. And they used to do this game where you can call in and you could there's this little video game, but it used your voice to shoot
Picks.
Space Invaders or the
Yeah, it was like Space Invaders.
Yeah, picks. I always try to get on that and
I try to get on there too.
You win a ColecoVision. Right. Jeff was rich, he had the ColecoVision go over there if you want to play Atari, you just go to Jeff's house.
Well, Ming, you got all the cool toys.
And Dan, were you guys busy over the weekend? So you guys are joining us to talk about something that hasn't ever happened before. It was the first virtual Dragon Con as opposed to the Dragon Con that we go to every single year. And, you know, I really, 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 you know, out of everything that's happened this year, the one or two things I really look forward to are seeing fish in the summer and seeing Dragon Con at the end of summer, Labor Day weekend. And so I just want to know what you guys thought about it, how you felt doing it. And then maybe we'll talk about all those cool toys and everything that's behind me, because I want that room.
Well, I have a blank wall behind me. But Dragon Con 2020, we went virtual and, quite frankly, we didn't know what the response was going to be, and the response was amazing. Before we started recording, I mentioned that I don't do anything at Dragon Con. I just get to talk about it. But our folks from DCTV, our track directors, our track volunteers, from the minute they said, okay, we're going virtual, they have been working their butts off to make sure that the content was going to be good, it was going to be worthwhile, it's going to be available. The gaming was going to be there. And because it was such a short turnaround, we kind of did a scattershot approach and it worked. We went through Roku. We went through Vimeo, we went through Eventy, and then we went through Facebook and YouTube. And man, the response is absolutely overwhelming to me. It looks like over 600,000 programs were watched during DragonCon Goes Virtual.
That's amazing.
Can't keep DragonCon fans down, my friends.
And something else we did was we expanded it. One of the things that I found really just like blew me away is, yeah, every year at DragonCon, I bump into somebody from Australia, somebody from Brazil, somebody from England. This year, we had 49 countries log in.
Wow.
The good ones. None of the bad countries.
None of the bad countries. Well, they're, yeah.
What, no North Korea?
I have nothing to say about any countries in the world. I love all the countries.
Dan, had any of the programs or, you know, the massive cosplay, the masquerade, had any of that been streamed online before? I didn't know because I was actually there. So
sure. Well, the answer is yes and no. The parade obviously has been on TV for the past few years, but it's also streamed through our DC TV. But we've also had DragonCon available online memberships for 3 years now. So it was possible for people to enjoy that before this year, but it was a paid membership. This is the first time we've done it free. And obviously, because this whole event was our way to say thank you to the fans, that you guys have been fantastic to us, and we know you're hurting, so we're going to do as much as we can, and that's why we didn't charge. I don't know. It's a lot of fun. Do you guys have any specific questions?
The people that did the wraparound stuff with the parade, with the what we do in the shadows, did you see any of that, Dan? That was
yeah, I did. That was my old roommate, Crispy. They did a fantastic job with the wraparound for the parade. The parade itself, the attendees were just phenomenal. We had over 100 different people involved in sending in their clips. So, everything about the parade I thought was fantastic. And the masquerade, if you got a chance to watch that, Eddie McClintock came back to host it, and also our own Tony Gowell, who is just unbelievable. I don't know if you've met Tony, spent any time with him, but he's just absolutely hilarious, and spontaneous is a great word for him. And they brought it with the masquerade.
And I tuned in to see Ming's buddy Cooper Andrews read some of the DragonCon award winners.
Gotta love him. Gotta love him.
He's fantastic. We were asked for clips for news programs, and what we sent him was Cooper and the parade, because I think that summed up everything about what we were trying to do this weekend.
Do you think that it kept the spirit of the event alive as much as possible and gave something to the fans that they really, really needed at a time like this?
Oh, I think that was definitely our goal, was to grab as much DragonCon content and spirit and bring it alive, even down to, I don't know if you know about this, there was an online contest for your favorite hotel. And people were sorting themselves into teams like Sorting Hat and Harry Potter.
Yeah, houses. I saw that.
Team Sheridan won of all the surprises.
Really? That's an upset right there. I mean, yeah. Sheridan and all, but.
Well, I think there's a couple of reasons. First off, everybody, their heart went out to the Sheridan last year when they had the difficulty with the Legionnaires' disease. And also, everybody who doesn't go through media relations or VIP goes through the Sheraton, and the people who stay at the Sheraton tend to be really loyal.
And they persevere. Didn't the speaker catch on fire there last year? Like,
that actually was over my head.
Oh,
when that happened. Really? Yes.
Wow, you survived the fire at the Sheridan.
Well, I did. I've talked about this in other occasions, and definitely I've talked about it in depth with Jeff. But Yeah, it was an Ellie and AJ concert, and I sent all my friends out, and I stayed in the room, and then I found out that I was the senior Dragon Con person, and I'm like, I really don't want to be responsible for this, but, you know, destiny chose otherwise.
Wow.
I saw a cosplay of the Sheraton speaker fire.
Yes.
No way. Really?
No, I mean, this is part of the energy at Dragon Con. The fire was, I would say, 8:15, 8:20 at night, mm-hmm. and Saturday, and by Sunday at the 1 p.m. panel, to make up for the Ellie and AJ not being able to perform, someone came dresses a fire speaker into the
that's awesome
panel. Now, as somebody who was within feet of the speaker, I will say I didn't actually see any flames. It just kind of smoked.
Sure, but yeah, a lot of people, you know, where there's smoke, there's fire. It could have been disastrous, my friend. You, I don't use the word hero very often, Dan, but you may have just been a hero. Dragon Con 2019.
So Dan, let me ask you the thinking moving forward going to 2021. You know, everybody's hoping that there'll be a vaccine or multiple vaccines. Has there been talk already of how you're going to move forward? And are you going to move forward like, yes, this is definitely happening? Is this and we're just going to go ahead and soldier on?
Yes, there is no doubt. This is. Something that was considered when we made the decision. And we know we are going to be able to come back with an epic Dragon Con 2021.
Yes.
And what's important is that we are going to do everything we can to make it epic. We're going to do everything within our power to make it so awesome for everybody else. And the one thing that I think everybody should realize is that we are working with the realities of the world, and in best case scenario, we live in a corona free environment.
Yeah.
Am I allowed to say that if this is going on YouTube?
yeah.
Okay.
You're not saying that you have a cure for it, or
I do not. I do not. I have a little bit of common sense about it, but that comes straight from the from the medical authorities.
Let me just interrupt real quick on that. Last weekend, I went to see Metallica. They recorded a concert out in the field someplace, and they streamed it to movie theaters, to drive-in theaters. And I'm like, wow, something to do. And I was in South Carolina, so we went to the show. And even though it was outside and everybody was spaced apart, I still had that anxiety of being around people. And it was weird because a lot of folks weren't wearing masks at all.
Right.
And but it just, I mean, that feeling of anxiety that's, you know, it's legitimate because I have it. So I just wondered if any of you guys feel that way or if you're ready to go back out and go to a thing. Because I've noticed that there are guys, like I see artists and some voice people who are doing little mini things where you do the meet and greets and they're advertising them online. I don't know that I'll be ready to do that.
Ming, you were going to cons like every other weekend or something.
Yeah, I definitely missed it. The last con I went to was in the beginning of February, and I'm trying to be safe. I have gone out at limited capacity. I've done the outdoor dining. For the most part, here in Jersey, everyone's wearing masks and being somewhat careful. But I have also passed by outdoor bars here where it looks like looked like 2019 on steroids. Even and I'm like, huh, this is not a good idea. And you know, from the con perspective, it's going to be tough to hold an event where you would be in fear of going.
Yes,
and or feel anxious about going. And it's going to be tough to have it at the scale it was at unless there's a cure or a vaccine. And I'm hearing they're making promising progress, but I know, this is a new virus. So they have to do human trials,
yep.
Wait to see that it doesn't melt your brain or turn you into a zombie. And then they can release it out into the public. That's going to take a while. Right. It's really, it's really just time. After that, so yeah. I But with that in mind, I think it seems like all the geniuses are kind of at work looking as fast as they can for something. So I'm hoping within 12 months or fewer than 12 months that we can go to Dragon Con safely in 2021. That it'll happen. And yeah, I've seen there actually are smaller cons going on right now. I've seen them. I wouldn't go to them personally, and I probably wouldn't advise anybody else. I don't think they've been that well attended. That being said, Dragon Con, all these they've not been canceled, they've been postponed. So everyone's like, oh man, must be killing you. You were out going to cons every weekend, now you're stuck, you must be going nuts. I'm like, you know what? If they were still going on, they're going on, and I couldn't go and I was missing out, yeah, of course I'd be going nuts. But now, you know, since they're gone everywhere and everybody we're doing it in the name of safety and to protect everybody and to protect ourselves and just being a good human being, it's not that bad sitting still for a little while.
Yeah, we have a comic book man panel for Dragon Con 2021.
I would love that. If that happens, I want you to moderate it then. Definitely moderating it. I love that. Every year I ask, hey, you know, we'd love to come down, but they the past few years their guest list has been stacked. So it kind of stinks if you're not in like a Marvel or DC or Star Wars. It was pretty tough to get in. Which was fine. In the end, I was going there and I was like, do I really want to be obligated to be at a table at 9 a.m.? Probably not. Like, you know, because I'm still partying at 9 a.m. So, I want to present my best. So I don't want to be all hungover in the Walk of Fame. So,
I've seen some celebrities that have probably tied one on the night before in there.
I think most of them have. You know, we're all seasoned veterans. However, it's Dragon Con. You know, you got to get a little rest in there somewhere.
And that's the thing I miss the most. And Dan, not just meeting celebrities or seeing celebrities, which is really one of my favorite things, is to meet people that I really admire and like the Battlestar Galactica people and the original Star Trek cast and stuff like that. And, you know, in oddball TV people, I have a Jones for that kind of thing. But I also like just seeing all the different people and watching people having fun is, you know, I can be surly, and Jeff knows this. He's known me for a long time. But to see other people having such a good time, that's the thing I miss the most. And you know, cosplay to a degree. Okay, honestly, I do miss, you know, seeing certain outfits. But you know what I'm talking about. But that whole social thing, you know, in this, I'm getting to a point here. I know I'm rambling, but you were able to get panels put together and done virtually. So that is something that a lot of, like, tons of people look forward to that every year at Dragon Con. How was that received? And do you think it went over well?
It went, let me give you a very specific story. My first year as a volunteer at Dragon Con, I worked the help desk. My director that year stopped volunteering at Dragon Con. She lives in DC, Washington. And she comes to Dragon Con every year, but she just didn't have the resources to volunteer anymore, especially in the director capacity. But we're still friends. And last night, she got a hold of me and said, oh, my God, this is effing awesome.
Wow.
And I think that's the response, without a doubt. If anybody puts on an event of this size where we're talking about 600 hours of programming virtually presented, and that includes the old programming, the new programming, and it also includes that, some of that spontaneous stuff that you saw on Facebook and YouTube. But to put that on in this period of time, I don't think mathematically you could do it without having glitches. And yeah, some things got glitchy, but I know I work in IT, and we have a saying, there's no such thing as a perfect program. There's no such thing as a perfect programmer. So overall, I think it was received very well. Obviously, people kept watching after the first couple of days. I have friends who've been volunteers for years at Dragon Con. They get to see maybe two panels a year, and they were glued to their Roku all weekend.
Wow.
I watched the parade from my couch on my Apple TV.
There you go. I got to see a Battlestar Galactica panel at 6 a.m. this morning that I missed the first time it happened because I was working.
Right.
Are all those panels available for people to watch if they missed them?
They're going to be available for 2 weeks. Okay. And then after that, for a small $10 purchase fee, you can watch it for the rest of the year.
Oh, wow.
And I think that's very reasonable. Just go to DragonCon.org to make that purchase. But I think apart from the sales pitch I just made, I think a year's worth of that type of entertainment for $10 is worth it.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Oh, Dragon Con every day. You could literally line up a whole programming track every day. That's awesome.
Yeah. One of the things that I really liked, one of the panels that I got to see all the way through where I wasn't distracted or anything, was the voice actors from the Animaniacs and from video games got together and did an episode of the Brady Bunch. In voices.
Oh, wow.
And I mean, it's phenomenal. There's so much hidden treasures in the programming that I'm going to be going through for weeks.
Yeah, I got to watch the Alton Brown panel finally that I couldn't get into.
Nice.
It's just great. But
I want to watch the Jackson Pollock one. Did any guys see that one?
No.
Because Jeff keeps throwing this rumor out here that Venture Brothers got canceled, or they're going to cancel it after the 8th season, and nobody seems to know. So I got to find out. I'm going to watch that panel to find out. Maybe they'll let you know. I don't know.
I keep hearing it's still on. It's just not on, is what I hear. But that's the word on the street, at least Cortland Street. yeah.
That's I love that show, and I love how much care they put into it because they do all the animation themselves, which is why it takes so long to produce. Ming, are you into that show?
It was Venture Brothers?
Yeah.
It's amazing.
I do a rewatch at least once a year because I'm a dork, and I love to do that kind of thing. So
I think that Doc and Jackson Public were doing a panel for Jackson Pollock.
Public.
Public. Yeah.
Jackson Pollock was completely
Jackson Public.
And they were
doing a panel the other day, and I think maybe that's where some of the rumors started.
Ah, well, I had not heard it, but there were so many panels. I haven't seen all of them, and it's going to take a while to do that.
Well, I am just going to plan on it happening in 2021, and I plan on living to 2021 to the end of the year, hopefully, so I can go. I'm only gonna be 50 this year, so once you get on the other side of that, you're like, well, maybe I'll be all right. I don't know. I hope so.
Trust me, I know that feeling.
I look to Ming's friend Kevin for inspiration. Who now he quit smoking and lost a whole bunch of weight, and
went vegan, got healthy, and I think he'll be around for a lot longer now.
Excellent,
which is a good thing. And I think DragonCon 2021, that's a good, it's important to have goals in life. And I think that's a great one. I think DragonCon is kind of a goal to get to every year personally, mm-hmm. and for all of us here. But now even more than ever. So I'm truly looking forward to it.
I can't wait.
Historically, after like a plague, there's been a huge renaissance in arts and just life in general. I think Dragon Con's going to be truly epic in 2021.
That is our goal, without a doubt. I mean, every year we set out to make it the best Dragon Con ever. And there's no doubt that, if anything, the thing that I'm impressed with is the way Dragon Con manages growth. Without letting it become a boat anchor, making sure that we expand because any business needs to expand, but we want to expand in such a way where it's comfortable for people who've been coming before. And that's what we're looking for, is that balance. I know people who don't go to any panels normally, and I know people who only go to panels. I know people who don't go to dances, and people who wake up at 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
Right.
And in the middle of their day, they go to the raves.
That's me. You know, Jeff talks about this. You know, I used to draw all the time in high school, junior high, whatever. And then I really kind of stopped doing it after college. And now I'm trying to get back into it. So I just want to show everybody on camera. See, that's Bobby Baccalieri from
Sopranos.
Yeah, from the Woods episode. But I'm trying to do it. I don't know how to do any of this stuff. So, like, I drew this today. This is because tomorrow's the anniversary of Star Trek. And I screwed it up when I colored it in. But I don't care. I'm going to keep working on stuff. Keep working on stuff. But to your point, you know, I'm, instead of just sitting around chewing my nails and freaking out, which I did the first month, I've, you know, put effort into, my wife and I are working on our house. We're doing projects, and I'm doing artistic things, and try not to be negative. You know, it's hard not to be, but you know, for me, but you know, drawing and being creative and stuff like that helps, I think.
Ring, are you bringing podcasts in live in person in shared universe?
Yeah. I would love to. I need to find out who to talk to to about that. I would love to do at least one panel on podcasting. I would love I would love you guys to join me as well. I think it'd be nice to have a stage there and have one thing where I got to be somewhat sober for an hour to get through. I can do it. I can definitely do it. So
as far as it's just one thing, then you're set.
Yeah, Yeah, I think it would be a podcasting panel with the Dragon Con twist for sure. So I have a whole year to figure that out. That would be amazing.
Would be. We have a digital media track that goes all day, all weekend long. So it wouldn't have to be Dragon Con specific. It's just about how you do podcasts.
Yeah,
Has his own studio for podcasts, and he brings people into the studio to record their podcasts.
Yeah, we help people launch them. We rent out the studio by the hour. Yeah, we're like we're all in on podcasting here. So
that's fantastic.
Yeah, it'd be fun.
Off all summer long too, or all year long, right? More people are doing them.
Absolutely. Anybody who is just kind of casually thinking about it back in February, by about May, when they had nothing else to do, like, hey, can you help me out with this? I am here for you. We'll connect you with anybody you want to talk to. If there's that big guest that you've been wanting to book, now's the time to do it, because they have no excuses now.
Right.
They can't be like, I'm working. Like, well, no, you're not. It's like, I'm out of town. I'm not supposed to be out of town.
Hey, Bert Kuiper said that to us. I'm working. Okay.
Yeah, and you know, and a lot of them are actually just starved for the attention that they were getting from going to premieres or working or just going out, and they didn't have that anymore. So now they're like, well, hey, these podcasters want to talk to me, I guess. Like, you know, it's just good to have some human interaction. So now's the time to do it, everybody.
You guys gone to a movie yet?
Theaters aren't open here. I would love to. There are no drive-ins around here.
Really?
You're a big drive-in guy.
I am, and there are no one around here. There have been a couple of pop-ups around here, but you know, in very limited capacity. I have not been out yet. I don't know if you guys have been gone over to the drive-ins or what the status of theaters are where you guys are, but
I go to theaters here, but I'm not going to do it until
they just reopened, and it's going to be weird. I haven't gone yet.
Yeah, I don't think I would do indoor. I would totally go to a drive-in, but half that experience is, you know, kind of leaving your car, wandering around, going to the snack bar, you know, getting a bunch of food that's not good for you, and just kind of mingling, and you're not really supposed to do that anymore. So, yeah, it's just these little things that they've taken out of the overall experience. But, you know, you do what you can right now.
Yep. Have you been, Dan?
I have not. I was really – I'm one of the few people who have actually been waiting for New Mutants. Last time I was in Jersey, I found that my New Mutants 1 through 10 had somehow been preserved in my mom's old house.
Oh, nice.
So, and they were in really good condition. They were kept flat in a brown paper bag. There's no discoloration. I don't know why. Maybe it was in a plastic bag, but they're in good condition. And I'm like, I want to see New Mutants, and I'm not going to do that. until I can see it on my TV.
All right.
And weren't they originally, didn't they wear the black and yellow outfits and they were all at the school when they were, when the comic?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, they were little X-Men.
Mm-hmm.
It was a very different world back then.
And did they become, I'm so long ago, did they become X-Factor or did they discontinue New Mutants? I don't remember.
So I stopped reading comics in 85, 86.
Okay.
And then when I picked up again in the mid-2000s, I actually decided not to buy any X-Men because it was just too expensive a proposition because they had like 42 titles. Am I wrong, Ming? Is that?
No, you're not wrong. You're not wrong. That was about when, everyone was like, hey, let's make every variation that we can get money for.
Yes.
And kind of screwed up the whole industry for a while. And now they're doing it again now. I was like, didn't you guys learn back in 1997? Like, come on, guys. Yeah.
Yeah. The only 90s comics I own is I own all of Amalgam.
Nice. And yeah, that's cool that you were able to dig up your like, wait a minute. I think I have 1 through 10 right here.
Yeah.
You're able to find them. That's a miracle.
It is. And I have like 4 copies of X Factor number 1.
Nice.
But it's a 1984 version.
Yeah.
So
84 version. What do you mean?
Well, like in the old days, Spider-Man number 1 came out. I think that's a bad example. Fantastic Four number 1 came out. And you know, 25 years later, you were getting Fantastic Four 532 or something.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah, just kept then going.
In the 90s, they just kept saying, okay, we're going to stop this. And 3 months later, they'd bring it back. And
hey, we're at number one again. Hey, it's a number one. I got to buy it. And I was like, that's not a real number one.
Yeah. And it's really interesting to from somebody who wasn't reading to go back on to read from Marvel Unlimited. And then suddenly it goes to number one, and then like 12 issues later, it goes back to 465 or something. It's just crazy.
Yeah, it's no fun.
A good year for comic book TV shows with Watchmen and The Boys coming back for its second season. Those are the kind of things I look forward to. Whenever there's something new that really catches the consciousness, then everybody starts wearing those outfits as well at Dragon Con in the cosplay. So I was like, oh, I want to see all this cool stuff. So I'll just wait till next year and see all the and the Mandalorian as well.
Yeah.
And The Witcher.
Yep.
The Witcher.
Yeah. God, there's so much cool stuff out there. And you know, as everything just keeps, there's more and more and more of it. You know, there's always that one place every year you go where you get all of it at the same time. And anything you float your boat, you can find it there pretty much.
Yeah. I always say that, like, when I go to Dragon Con, that I'm with my people. Yep. I feel like, and the scene in Clerks when Randall goes to the Big Choice Video and just falls down on his knees. Yeah.
That's exactly what it's like.
I feel at Dragon Con.
That's a great description.
Go ahead, Dan.
Yeah, I want to throw this out. The ending ceremonies for Dragon Con, what they had was a thank you and goodbye from the technical team. And it was a giant, almost 40 person, it seemed like, Zoom looking call. I know they don't use Zoom, but it was a Zoom looking call. And one of the things that I caught was Mel Cita, a few years ago, she did a DC TV parody of Adele called Hello from the Dragon Con. And if you're listening to me, go to YouTube, search in Hello from the Dragon Con. And it summed up everything about Dragon Con, everything from, you know, I'm at the Marriott, now you're at the Sheraton, and just the joys of cosplaying, and it's a very funny video. But what she said was she didn't know she belonged at Dragon Con until she went to Dragon Con, and then she realized she was home.
Yeah.
Right.
And it's such a beautiful sentiment. And yeah, it's a lot of fun and everything, but you know, it's more than that. It's about the acceptance and about the celebration of who you are and what you dig in your heart.
Absolutely. I really enjoyed the Jawas. I don't know if you're a Hamilton fan, but in the parade, the Jawas danced to a parody of You'll Be Back from Hamilton. And they changed it to We'll Be Back, basically saying next year we'll be coming back big time at Dragon Con. It was really great.
So if people, Dan, if people want to get signed up for Dragon Con 2021 or become members, what's the next step?
Well, keep an eye on www.dragoncon.org. We haven't opened up the membership that I'm aware of, but I may text you a note to put in you underneath the YouTube when this airs,
right.
If I'm wrong about that. But the other thing to remember is that anybody who had a membership for this year who decided to move their membership to next year, their membership has been moved and they're fine. And the same with the hotel reservations.
Nice.
So, and I'm going to give my standard hotel plug, which is if you're like me and Tim and we're not going to movies, I understand a night in a hotel is actually one of the safer things you can do during COVID-19. That's from the CDC. That's real science. I didn't make that up. So think about spending a night in one of your Dragon Con favorite host hotels, the Hyatt, the Westin, the Marriott, the Hilton, and the Sheraton. And while you're at it, wearing a mask and following social distancing, spend some time in one of those restaurants. Because, you know, they're hurting, and they have been so cooperative and helpful, and they've been there for us. Let's be there for them.
I had to absolutely miss my Trader Vic's meal.
Yeah, you smell like smoke. Yeah.
Wait, God, they don't. They still allow smoking in there, or is it because of something else?
The tiki torches and stuff.
Oh, that's right.
Oh yeah. Careful with those tiki torches.
Oh yeah.
Well, guys, thank you so much for coming on and
Ming, plug the Shared Universe podcast, because people
if you want to start a podcast, we can do it in person here in Jersey. We can do it virtually like we're doing right now. Go to ashareduniverse.com. I'll set you guys up. Or if you just want to wait for the humongous panel at Dragon Con 2021 with starring me and Jeff and possibly these two gentlemen, if they have time to come over, then you can do that as well. But I will be here for you. This is amazing fun. Look at all these big smiles we're having. We love this.
I know, it's great. This is like every Monday night, it's like, okay, I get to go in my little room, we get to talk about the cool stuff that we like to talk about.
Get to nerd out.
Yes.
Awesome.
I don't get to talk about that at my other job, which is being on the radio. I just do goofy voices. Yeah. I don't talk about nerd stuff. Well, not whatever. I'm going to call him. I'm a nerd. I'm happy to be a nerd.
It's okay. I'm
happy to be who
I am. We have a place for you every Labor Day.
Yep.
Awesome. Well, guys, I appreciate it. And Ming, anything you ever have, I know you got legions of fans, but anything we can ever do to help you promote anything, and same with you, Dan, we're more than happy to do that.
Thank you so much. And really thank you for all. I'm sorry for cutting you off, Ming. I'm really rude. I'm from New Jersey. See what I did there? Thank you guys, seriously, for all the love you've given to Dragon Con since I first met you. Tim, it's been now 10 years. And thank you for. And Jeff, my God, I mean, you know. I assure you, I meet many reporters and podcasters. I don't normally go to concerts with them. That says something.
Nice.
We'll get to another Gin Blossom show next year, Dan.
And Ming, we look forward to seeing you next year and talking to you between now and then, hopefully.
Wouldn't miss it for the world.
And I love everything in your background there. So maybe next time we have you on, we'll do a one like the old Wheel of Fortune. We'll just go by everything to showcase, please.
Oh yeah, for sure. The old Wheel of Fortune, or we'll bash it up with cribs, and I'll take you for a little tour for sure.
Ming definitely has some cool stuff.
Yeah, is that before you go? Is that a I can't say it, Mjolnir hammer? Is that a Thor?
That is the Stormbreaker from. From Endgame. That is a full-size Stormbreaker up there.
All right.
Just this random dude, his name's Jason Parnell, gave us a call. He's like, hey, I make props for fun. I made a full-size Stormbreaker. I'd like you guys to have it and display it in the studio. And I'm like, who is this? He drove 5 hours to the store and he presented it to us. And it's legit. It looks like from the kilns of Uru and made by Peter Dinklage himself, giant Peter Dinklage. It's pretty amazing. So, and then we got three rooms full of this stuff and more in storage. So this is what happens when you go to cons every weekend. You start picking stuff up. Luckily we have a place to put it.
Yeah. Cool. Well, thank you guys.
Thanks so much for coming, you guys.
Thank you.
I'll see you guys soon. Stay safe, everybody.
See you in 2021, if not before.
Yep.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you all.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Dan. You guys. So awkward.
It is. Hey, I got a question for Ming.
He left already.
Ah, oh, son of a bitch. I mean, gosh. Yeah, it's really funny for those people who've met me in real life. I do not ever curse when there's a microphone around, and I use the F word as a comma when there's not. Thank you both, guys. I'm heading out. Bye.
Dan, thank you.
Yeah, that was fun.
Yeah. Do you want to talk about more stuff, or is that good enough for you?
Yeah, we could just say what we watched and stuff, because I watched the first three episodes of The Boys.
So did I, and did you fucking love it or what?
Yeah, I loved it so much that I even watched the Aisha Tyler after show.
How is that? Is that any good?
Yeah, it's pretty good. She has virtual people like Zoom in, cats and stuff, and you know, it's Talking Dead for The Boys.
She's cool too. Aisha Tyler is very funny, and she's very sarcastic, and
the show is R-rated too, because
yeah,
they don't give a shit, you know.
Wait, what network is it? Is it on HBO?
No, it's on Amazon.
Amazon? Oh, okay.
Yeah. Okay. But if you watch all three, then it pops up saying, hey, you want to watch these after The Boys shows.
Now, what'd you think of Aya Cash?
She's great.
Isn't she? Now, she's from, originally, she's from, well, we knew her from.
You're the Worst.
Oh, wait a minute. Why was I thinking? Oh, yeah, that's right. In my head, I'm thinking she was the girl from, she's the woman from Orange is the New Black, but I'm completely wrong about that.
Yeah, she was on You're the Worst.
That's right. She was funny as shit on that show.
Yeah.
What happened to that show? Did it get canceled?
Yeah, it ended.
Oh, shit. So I was trying to find a list of some of the new people who were appearing on the new season, but it's just so, so damn good. It's the show that you're like, to me anyway, it's The Boys is the show that is like, oh, I need a show in my life.
Because I was mad that they only did three.
Well, yeah, a lot of people are pissed because you can't binge the whole thing, but I kind of like that. I like waiting.
It makes sense to keep it going longer, and so everybody hasn't watched the entire show in one day, like I did with season two of Cobra Kai. I was just like, I'm going to watch the whole thing in one day, and I did.
When's season three coming out?
2021, but who knows with the production now.
They just moved it all to Netflix or something?
Yeah, it's all on Netflix now.
And what'd you think about Patton Oswalt as the Gills?
Yeah, that was hilarious.
I wasn't expecting that. I was laughing my fucking ass off. There's so many good cameos. What?
He tweeted that was one of the weirdest things he's ever done.
Yeah, but he was sick. You are
I know.
Beautiful.
Speaking of Patton Oswalt, AP Bio's back on Peacock.
Oh, yeah?
Peacock, yeah.
Peacock. I don't have that yet. I wanted to get the CBS app because I started watching Blue Bloods. I like cop procedural shows.
And you wouldn't watch the hospital procedure show that I told you to watch.
Well, maybe I'll get around to it. But I wanted to watch Blue Bloods for a couple of reasons. It's a David Chase show, and there's a lot of Sopranos people on it. Sharip is on it now. And it's not a bad show.
Bless your heart for Magnum P.I.
Oh, hell yeah. I love Magnum P.I. Yeah. Glossing over Giancarlo Esposito, right?
And The Boys?
Yeah, how about that role? He's freaking amazing. He's such a good actor. I kind of get the Gus Fring vibe off of him, which...
Something's going on with that dude, because he's not scared of Homelander at all. How is that possible?
Do you think he has powers? Because
that's what I'm wondering, if maybe he's had some V that he's been slurping up in the background somehow.
And I can't remember the actor's name, but he was the guy I really liked in Deadwood. He had a very small role on the board of directors. Do you know what I'm talking about?
No.
Now the guy that married the
Jim Beaver.
Yeah, him. Yeah,
yeah.
He was
great.
But other than that, I didn't really watch much. You saw me the other day. I was watching old Barney Miller's. I watched a couple episodes of We Got It Made. Remember that show?
Yep.
With Ann Gillian and Louise Lasser. That's her name. I can't think of her name. But she, anyway, she was Mary Hartman. Mary Hartman. Good show.
I watched High Score on Netflix. Did you check that out at all?
No.
It's like the history of video games. Yeah, it's really good.
That's on my to-do list.
It's only four, maybe six episodes.
Yeah. Is it a good talk?
Yeah, it goes from it like starts with like Pong and shit and goes all the way through all the modern day video games. But it breaks it down like one episode's about Nintendo, one episode's about Atari, one episode's about Sega Genesis.
And do they go to the modern era?
Yeah.
Right on.
They talk to all the people that invented these games and people that were great players of the games. Like that used to go to tournaments and stuff. So it's a little bit like that Donkey Kong. What was that? King of Kong documentary.
I'll check that out.
It's a bit like that.
Now, Transplant's the show you were talking about, right?
Yeah, Transplant. They started showing it. It's that Canadian hospital drama that I really liked that I was stealing from Canada when it was on.
Why is it
so? Now they're showing it on NBC.
What makes it so good?
It's Canadian for one thing, and that, you know, they take writing and acting and all that stuff real seriously, and it's really well done.
Is it better than Grey's Anatomy?
I think so. I never got into Grey's Anatomy. I was an ER guy.
Woman. Grey's Anatomy's for women. ER was for everybody. I mean, you cry a lot if you watch Grey's Anatomy. There's too much cheesecloth.
There's this Transplant is really good, and it's got great relationships and stuff. And yeah, there is some virtue signaling and stuff like that, but they handle it so well in Canada,
right?
You know what I mean? Like in British stuff, they handle it.
It's just there. It's just there. It's
right.
Not like, oh, we have to draw attention to this.
Right. That's how it is in Canada too. It's there.
Mm-hmm.
Just deal with it.
Now, what's Raised by Wolves?
That's the new, directed by Ridley Scott, on HBO Max. Really good. It's about these androids that move to a planet after Earth is destroyed and try to raise kids. And then there's like different factions of religious cult, basically, that are also in space.
Are they? They're all androids?
No, the religious cult people are humans, and they're anti-android.
All right,
but the androids like tried to save humanity by breeding these embryos, like freezing them and taking them to this planet to raise them.
Right.
But then the humans get involved, and it's directed by Ridley Scott, so it's really got a lot of alien vibe.
Cool.
Like the androids. When they bleed, it's like white milk.
Live action. It's not an animated.
Yeah, now it's live.
Need something else to watch, so I'll jump into that.
Yeah, it's HBO Max. It's really good. The first three are out. They're doing them every Thursday. They'll drop new episodes.
Do your staff pick.
That biography. I think it's coming out tomorrow, which would be Tuesday. So it's yesterday.
We're seeing this. It's out.
Yeah, it's probably out already. It's called I Want My MTV. It's the biography of MTV on A&E.
A&E, all right. Cool. I don't have a staff pick, unfortunately, but I will have one next week, I promise. So what do you think about next week? We begin our new thing, which would be watching something, talking about it, recording it, and then putting some of it out on the regular podcast. What do you think?
Yeah.
An idea that Dustin talked to about us the last time he was on the show. Now, I've thought about doing something and calling it a different thing, doing sitcoms because it's only a half an hour.
Right.
And I want to do a very special episodes. You know what I'm talking about? Like we talk about the real goofy 70s and 80s sitcoms
episodes. There's a book called A Very Special Episode that I'm not sure if it's out yet, but I've been waiting for it to come out.
Let's find that book. I want to kick it off. The first one I found is Smoking Isn't Cool, which Joni takes up smoking in season 6 of Happy Days, and Fonzie has to, you know, kind of let her know that it ain't cool. So we think about that. You want to watch that with me and Steph? We'll watch it and record it. And all right, cool.
Yeah, that sounds good.
All right. Well, thank you for getting Ming and Dan lined up. And
did you check out any Dragon Con?
I watched some of the parade, but I didn't really have a lot of time this weekend.
I'll send you a link. You can watch the whole parade on YouTube.
Yeah, I took a bunch of notes when we were talking to Dan, so there's a ton.
Just watch the wraparound. If you don't watch the whole parade, which you should, and you should really get into that Jawas singing the song from Hamilton, but you haven't watched Hamilton yet, so you wouldn't understand it.
I might appreciate it.
Yeah. But the wraparound stuff with what we do in the shadows is hilarious. And awesome. The people they're doing impressions, and they're Dragon Con.
Yeah, but they're having fun.
Yeah, but they're doing great. And the guy that got to do Colin Robinson was really funny.
All right.
And he looked like him.
I guess I'll have to watch Hamilton.
You will. I've been telling you that for months now, since it came on Disney Plus.
Hey, we haven't done a live show since when? It's been two weeks, but we haven't really mentioned anything about Chadwick Boseman. What a horrible loss. Not only to all of his fans, but to Hollywood and to Marvel, to that franchise. I mean, that's the least important thing. But Chadwick was a great actor, and his loss will certainly be felt. And you got to respect the hell out of a guy who listened to his mama and kept his stuff private so he can continue to bring joy to people. You know what I'm saying?
Mike Sexton just died too from the World Poker Tour.
Yeah, I saw that. That's sad also.
He's only 72 years old.
But Boseman wasn't even 50 yet, right?
No, and it's crazy how he kept that shit secret.
Well, yeah, I mean, but I think his mother had said to him, or someone very important to him, and said, you know, don't share it with the world, continue to make people happy. And he took that option, and, you know, all the outpouring of support for him after he passed away was incredible. And I forget which network it was, showed Black Panther without commercials, without editing. Mm-hmm. That stuff. So it's just shocking when something like that happens. So rest in peace, man. And now they're gonna have to deal with how to keep the franchise going. I'm sure they'll come up with something, but anyway, I just wanted to say that before we wrapped. And we'll be back next week.
We're working on rescheduling Rob Hayes, who was supposed to be on last week, but we had technical difficulties at the last minute. We had to cancel, so we're gonna get him on again.
We'll get him on again. And so be on the lookout. Keep your eye on social media, and we'll talk to you then. So until then, keep it canon.
Keep it canon.
Yeah, and virtual. Hey, Radio Labyrinth is brought to you by Atlanta Pizza and Gyro, who are open. And you can go to their website and find out all that information. You can go in there, sit down, have yourself a nice, delicious meal. Bring the family. They have a great staff and a great owner. Atlanta Pizza in Gyro. Their website is atlantapizzagyro.com. You can order online and when you order online, you can do pickup or delivery, and you don't have to pay till you get there. So don't worry about that. You don't have to pay ahead of time. Atlanta Pizza and Gyro wants to thank everyone who has been supportive to them and to other restaurants through these tough times for the entire industry. And listen, if you have been to Atlanta Pizza and Gyro, I implore you, please leave a review on Google. And we can't forget our friend Brett Perkins, who I did reach out to. Brett Perkins, I said. But I haven't heard back from him. Get Brett Perkins, I said, the super across the way. And his business, LDI Repro Printing of Athens. They have all of your construction printing needs, commercial or residential, in Athens since 2005 with a fast turnaround and affordable prices. Call 706-316-9366 or email them at athens@ldiline.com. Thank you, Jeff.
Hi, this is Dr. Anthony Fauci. And I wanted to say thank you to the Radio Labyrinth producers. Those are the people who are the top tier donators to the Patreon page of Radio Labyrinth at www.patreon.com/Tim Andrews. Now, without further ado, here are the people that produce Radio Labyrinth each and every week. Tim Slayton, Brett Perkins, Mike Hall, Chad Shepard, Andrew Hopkins, Sean Hall, Roby Neely, Keith Tate, Todd Ellis, Brian Smith, Mike D, Matt Carter, John Sutherland, and Eric Malmstrom. Thank you all so very much.
Radio Labyrinth is recorded in front of a live studio audience. Well, the four of us, occasionally three, sometimes four, sometimes three, and is produced by you. For a complete list of Radio Labyrinth's awesome Patreon sponsors, just look at the show notes. Our intro theme was produced and performed by John Mark Lindell. Keep it canon.